and for all that you do for peace and human rights, and also for tackling the scourge of HIV and AIDS. You are truly making a difference. Thank you so much. I am honored beyond words to be with you on this day among this extraordinary company on this sacred and hallowed ground. This is indeed an uplifting and a very humbling moment for me. First to Mrs. Coretta Scott King and to the entire King family, I just want to say that they continue to lead our nation to a higher place. And I want to thank them for their commitment and for their wisdom in making this a better world. And let me just say, you have a wonderful sister mayor who is setting a new standard for mayors in the country. It is exciting to see Mayor Franklin take Atlanta to another higher level. And I just want to say to Reverend Orange, thank you. He has brought us together once again on this special day at this crucial moment in history. And I want to thank him for his leadership in continuing to pave the way for freedom and justice. To the Women's Action for New Directions, Juan, to Bobby Paul and Darcy Martin, I just want to thank Juan for continuing to be a voice for peace and justice. Thank you, Juan. And today I bring you greetings from the 9th Congressional District of California, which includes Oakland, California and Berkeley, California. It is the district which a great statesman and warrior, Congressman Ron Dellums, represented for 27 years.
Oh, I see it.
Today, we celebrate the message, the ministry, and the mission of a prophet, of a priest for freedom, and a proclaimer for liberty and justice for all. From Atlanta, Georgia, to Montgomery, Alabama, from the streets of the segregated South and the nebulous North, to the halls of Congress and the White House, Dr. King really did show us a better way. During these times of wars and rumors of wars, let us remember on this day the timely words of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He said that true peace is not just the absence of tension, it is the presence of justice. Yeah. Dr. King, he warned us of the wasteland of war. He said that in the wasteland of war, the expenditure of resources knows no restraints. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. knew that war could be a bottomless pit into which this great nation could pour all of its resources, all of its young people, and never come out safer nor stronger. And hence now in 2003, we are standing once again at the edge of this wasteland of war. But we are here today to say no to war. 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 Yes to peace.
Yes to peace.
Yes to peace.
Yes to peace. Yes to peace.
Because of you, my brothers and sisters, the silent majority has become the vocal majority in our country. In 1967, Dr. King, our great drum major for justice, said, "The bombs that burst in Vietnam will one day burst back in America in an unstable economy, in an over-involvement in drugs, and in disillusioned veterans." That was in 1967. Today in 2003, we are faced with, among the many injustices, an unstable economy, rising unemployment, 44 million people uninsured with no health care in the greatest country in the world, homeless, disillusioned veterans, a staggering global HIV/AIDS pandemic, disproportionate numbers of African American and Latino men in prison, violence in our communities, the scourge of drugs and drug addiction, hunger, and unequal education.
Yes.
Now, Dr. King knew then, and we should know by now, who really pays the highest price for war. Dr. King knew whose sons and whose daughters were being sent out to fight and die in Vietnam. And he knew who paid the price here at home in lost opportunities. As Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, a nation that continues year after year to spend more on military defense than on programs of social uplift is approaching spiritual death. He said that over 35 years ago. And now in 2003, the United States military budget is close to $400 billion. $400 billion. And that does not include the hundreds of billions to be spent in a senseless war against Iraq. We are standing on the edge of the wasteland of war. But we do not have to sacrifice the lives and the futures of more than 200,000 American armed services, our young men and women. Our young men and women, only to wreak havoc and pain on their families here at home and on Iraqi civilians. We don't have to do that. We must not jeopardize our children's futures by unleashing this crazy, insane doctrine, foreign policy of preemption, that will haunt us. It will haunt us, my brothers and sisters, for generations to come. President Bush, Secretary Rumsfeld, Cheney, and Powell, let's tell them it takes real leadership to negotiate peaceful resolutions to conflict. It takes leadership. It does not take leadership. It does not take leadership to drop bombs or to send our young men and women off to die. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. showed us a better way. So today we must ask ourselves, during the 74th celebration of his birthday, how did we come to this terrible and frightening moment in history? And how will we change it? Dr. King showed us a better way. He gave us a roadmap out of these terrible and frightening times. First, we must remember that Dr. King said, if we assume that life is worth living and that man has a right to survival, then we must find an alternative to war. He said that in 1967. And he went on to say that in a day when vehicles hurtle through outer space and guided ballistic missiles carve highways of death through the stratosphere, no nation can claim victory in war. No nation. Again, Dr. King told us this in 1967.
Prophecy.
In 1968, at the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C., in one of his last sermons, Dr. King told us, it is no longer a choice, my friends, between violence and nonviolence. It is either nonviolence or non-existence. And the alternative, he said, to disarmament the alternative to a greater suspension of nuclear tests, the alternative to strengthening the United Nations and thereby disarming the whole world, may well be a civilization plunged into the abyss of annihilation. Oh, what a prophet he was. Dr. King said this in 1968. So today, we have a president who threatens the world with nuclear first strikes and threatens to renew nuclear testing, who goes to the United Nations to create the appearance of international cooperation, but then undermines the UN at every single turn. The unthinkable of nuclear war has now become thinkable. So today, we, you, must insist that diplomacy and negotiations and international cooperation be the cornerstones of our foreign policy. We need to make and keep our commitments to international cooperation. Withdrawing from the Anti-Ballistic Missile Treaty, the ABM Treaty, was wrong, and it sent the wrong message to the world. What kind of a standard does that set for North Korea or India or Pakistan or any country in the world that has nuclear weapons? We need to work through the United Nations, which was born out of the ashes of a world war with a vision of peace. Ultimately, peace depends upon the elimination of weapons of mass destruction, not just in Iraq, not just in North Korea, but throughout the entire world, including the United States of America. Where our security really lies. Dr. King showed us a better way. Second and lastly, I just recently reread a very powerful book entitled The Words of Martin Luther King Jr. The introduction to this book was written by one of the most courageous, brilliant, and dedicated women of our times, Mrs. Coretta Scott King. She wrote, and listen to this, my brothers and sisters, Mrs. King wrote, "Martin always pleaded for positive constructive action. The triple evils of poverty, racism, and war were his concerns wherever they were found in the world. He devoted his life to the process of uprooting them by reaching into and beyond ourselves and tapping the transcendent ethic of love, we shall overcome these evils. Love, truth, and the courage to do what is right should be our guideposts on this lifelong journey." So where do we go from here? Our challenge, my brothers and sisters, is to carry on that torch, to take the baton onto us, past to us by our great prophet of God. Let us not drop the ball again by defining the peace movement so narrowly as an anti-war movement as we did during the Vietnam War. Our work must be for peace and justice. Peace and justice. We must raise our voices, lobby our elected officials, march and speak out in opposition to the pending war against Iraq, but also in opposition to those conditions that give rise to war and violence. In 2003, let us honor Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s legacy by escalating our fight against poverty, racism, and war. And in so doing, perhaps, just perhaps, in our lifetime, we may see a glimpse of the beloved community. Oh, what a man was he. Oh, what a life he lived for others. Oh, what a visionary he was who laid down his life seeking justice for sanitation workers. He showed us a better way. And in that way, we must now walk. In closing, let me just say, as the drumbeats of war get louder, Let us follow the directions of this great yet humble servant of God. Let us take up his message, ministry, and mission of peace and justice. Let us carry on his legacy so that, like Dr. King, we too can dream of and work toward passing on a better America to our children. A community that is safe, a world that is secure. Let us make Dr. King's dream a reality. Let us not worry. Let us not worry about John Ashcroft. Let us not worry about this administration. Let us not fear anyone. For our eyes, too, we can also see the glory of the coming of the Lord. Happy birthday, Dr. King. May God bless you. Thank you very much.
Is the attack